we've got to find a way to be able to start serving again in a limited capacity. It's getting to be a little bit rough here in the summer with retail only. You know, after seeing a lot of places that were in the same boat as us, not able to serve, I'm seeing a lot of them finding workarounds to be able to serve again, a lot of them being breweries and little bars. So that's kind of been my project, is trying to figure out how we can get around this. My name is Rob Chase, and I'm the owner of Digress Wine in College Park. Seems like food trucks are being utilized, which we've had here consistently for, well, the entire time we've been here. So it's the mission I'm on.
So here we are approaching almost, come August, 14th, that'll be 5 months that we've been going through this pandemic. And let's face it, to have only been open for 2 weeks for on-premise consumption out of 5 months is insane, especially when we would say 80% of our business relied on on-premise consumption. Hi, I'm Melissa McAvoy, co-owner of Swirlery Wine Bar, with my partner, Damian Roman. We are currently applying for a restaurant license. We want to do it the right way. We want to have a menu. We want to have our license hanging. And we're just still working our tails off to push the off-premise retail out the door to get us through these next few weeks until we think we'll be able to open up as a restaurant.
Florida remains a COVID-19 hotspot, with at least 10,000 cases reported in the state almost every day. Still, Florida has declared itself open for business. Except, that is, for bars. Apart from a two-week reprieve in early June, bars haven't been allowed to serve drinks since March, even as restaurants have reopened with the freedom to serve alcohol. They just have to get more than half of their revenue from food. Bar owners are starting to cry foul, and some are adopting creative interpretations of the rules. I'm Judith Smelser, creator of Orlando Wine Blog, and this is Unwinding, following the stories of Central Florida's wine professionals via Skype as they navigate the changing world of COVID-19.
So the one that really got me thinking about it is a place that, it's a brewery. They obviously could only do to go, and they've since started serving, and you are required after one drink to have food on your table, which you can provide yourself, you can get from a food truck. So they're not actually producing any of the food, and that puts us in the same exact situation. We can provide the food with the truck. We could limit our serving hours to Duck and Drake's hours. I just need to figure out exactly how they're pulling it off and what they're doing to protect themselves, and what information they have that I don't, or if they're just taking a chance or being creative. So we're digging in. I think the majority of places we're seeing that are open in general are probably not selling 51% food. I think that's tough to police. And I don't know that that's generally an issue. And I think if people are doing it responsibly and, we're distancing properly and taking all the precautions, then great. I mean, it's just an example of what can work. And the 51%, quite honestly, I don't know where that makes a difference at all to begin with. We've seen the strike force that Orlando or Orange County, I guess, is going to be rolling out. So, we've been operating within the guidelines that we're required to. So I'm not concerned about any of that. I'd be surprised if they pay us a visit anyway. But overall, I can't say I've heard much. I don't know anybody that's had any officers drop in or anybody that's really questioned it at this point. What I read about the whole strike force thing was that they is similar to what they were doing previously. The first go around is quote, educating people about what they can and can't be doing, rather than focused on, just pulling licenses or fines or anything like that.
So I've been told over and over again that we're fine to sell to-go drinks and let people sit outside and drink them. Like that, I'm perfectly okay to do that. That's totally legal right now. I can set up tables, chairs, tents, whatever I want outside. I can sell all the beverages to go and let people sit outside and drink them. You know, we kind of like took that idea like, hey, you know, let's set up an adult lemonade stand making, you know, frosé slushies. And then we made like a rainbow sherbet sour beer slushie. I think we had like, you know, we sold like 10 of them. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And so we'll definitely be popping up our lemonade stand again sometime in the near future. And next week we are doing a pop-up with those gentlemen from Orlando Meats. They also run Recess Pizza and they do some amazing plant-based foods. So next Friday night we'll have them here from 5 to 9. And then August 21st, we have that lobster truck coming back for the parking lot party, essentially.
You know, really getting this whole food thing figured out is kind of goal number one. So that's going to be a fun little project. And really, it's just kind of wading through, I don't know, just paperwork, red tape, trying to figure it out, find loopholes, and make sure that we can follow the proper guidelines and do what we need to do to survive. We're even entertaining getting the kitchen licensed here, which will be even more of a process. But if that's our option and we can do it, and I've seen a lot of people that have pulled that off recently, then we'll go for it. I don't think it's terribly troublesome. I mean, we've got everything we need, technically. You know, we just have never gone through the process. So who knows what, I'm always nervous about what kind of situations that could open up. I mean, anybody coming to inspect your business is always a little nerve-wracking, but you know, I think the cost is reasonable and, you know, we're pretty much set to go. So it's just a matter of, we decide to go that route, then, you know, we've got to act quickly and be diligent to try to catch as much as we can here.
Yeah, so it's a pretty simple process. We applied, they took our money immediately, and we need to submit our floor plans, which we are almost finished with, thanks to a good friend who was able to help us. It took a little bit of, you know, painting, sealing, doing some baseboard work, but we already had a grease trap and 3-compartment sink. Everything was there already because this used to be a Domino's. So I don't anticipate, you know, that it's going to be too challenging to get that license, you know, reinstated here at this location. Yeah, it's definitely going to pay off. It definitely will encourage people. So many times people probably leave to go grab a bite to eat, and now they can have a bite to eat and have a second glass of wine. So I think that it will substantially, you know, raise our sales. But it's also, right now, this is about survival also, because we can't serve without it. And I don't really see our governor planning to, you know, make any changes to bars or breweries anytime soon.
It's been a bit of a slow week around here. It's definitely tight, and I think more people have left town to go on vacation than I would have anticipated. It's taken a little dive, as it always does in July and August. So we're shooting for August 1st to have, you know, full delivery most days, if not every day. And I finally got, you know, the website is set. All the items are correct, and we had to work some bugs out there. There's always something, but it's looking good. I think we're in a unique position to where there's not a whole lot of independent places that do offer what we do and deliver. So that's going to be a big focus, and hopefully that's something that takes off. We've had some success with it in a very loosey-goosey kind of way, so providing a little more structure to that is something I'm looking forward to.
You know, the dog days of summer are here. It's July, which I think July tends to be, you know, one of the quieter months of the year. A lot of people, you know, vacation, get those last trips in for the families. It's definitely not as as much foot traffic or curbside or delivery as we were seeing in March or in April, for sure. Those were, you know, we were getting, you know, significant numbers then. It's definitely quieted down now, and it's more like just like our regulars, you know, just ringing us up to, you know, show us some love and support.
I am going to and am currently revisiting, you know, bridge loans and SBA loans and things like that. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of action first time around, so I'm kind of exploring some new options and been sending an application. So I think there's still some opportunity there. I'm just really pushing out some fun things that we have, either new items that are kind of limited or unique, or some of the older things in the cellar. Yesterday was a fun one. Threw up some Ramassiné Le Pommard, Red Burgundy from 1969 that we got on a library release from the winery. So that's exciting. Been fun to kind of dig around and just send out some posts. And the response has been great. You know, people are always looking for, you know, something to pique their interest in. And if we can provide a little something different, then great. And it's nice that it's a little bit more of a slow burn in response. You know, it might be a few days or it could be immediately, but people will reference these posts from, you know, a week, 2 weeks ago, and maybe we have it, maybe we don't. A lot of it's been selling out. But it's a nice, easy little platform to be able to push some things out that way for people that may not be out and about or necessarily looking.
I mean, we really do want to get our back to getting some on-premise consumption here. You know, we want to keep, you know, our staff employed too. So, you know, they do better when, you know, they're taking care of guests. It's just overall better for everyone to kind of double up our sales. You know, we are feeling the pinch for sure.
I've been applying for jobs today, even though our numbers are rising. It's not really like we have much of a choice, so I'm doing my best to keep my head up. This is Christina Peebles. I've been laid off of multiple jobs since March 14th. Trying to apply for some, whether it be Disney jobs or fine dining jobs. So a friend of mine is a GM at a Disney property in Epcot. So they were hiring one person. And then I saw a couple steakhouses on iDrive had put up some stuff 10 days ago. So I'll kind of keep feeling around and see what I can do, because unemployment is kind of coming to a close. If the federal extension doesn't come soon, then that means that 600 runs out for me at the end of this month, which is only in a couple days. So I kind of can't depend on that at all. A lot of my friends that have hotel jobs are like, well, we're sitting at our job for 8 hours a day, but we're walking with $56 a shift because there's just no one in the hotel. But Disney, I assume, is going to be pretty busy. So that's why I was hoping on the Epcot thing. The steakhouse on iDrive, I mean, I assume iDrive is still going to have some business. But iDrive is very convention-based, so I don't even know if that's a thing.
This is Melissa from Disney. No word whatsoever. I see a couple of my friends, you know, are working the breakfast shift at Chef Mickey's. And it looks like that buffet is transitioned over to food being brought out to the table. It doesn't look crowded whatsoever in those restaurants. And it seems like, you know, they're only operating that restaurant, you know, for breakfast and lunch, essentially. I do know that, you know, the stations have been cut in half and the price tag has been cut in half also, which means that their wages have obviously been cut as well. So I would guess that I would not get a phone call back from them. If I didn't get a call from them until 2021, I would not be shocked.
This is Christina. I ended up looking up some housing assistance things because my mom ended up getting her rent paid for like 3 months, as well as her electric. But unfortunately, that's in Volusia County, Orange County. They had funding open up and then it closed. So there's not really a lot we can do in this county specifically. So that's been a little bit of a bummer. My mom just started getting unemployment essentially last week. And when she started getting it, she's going through the normal unemployment woes of, why isn't it coming weekly? And I expected to get this much. And I don't understand, you know, the process. Hearing her frustrations, and I'm like, listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do. There's nowhere you can call. And it's just kind of funny talking someone through it so many months later.
My daughter's graduation, they've been going back and forth with graduation, no graduation, how we're going to do it. And ultimately, they did do it last week. So it was your whole family, you know, you had to meet up, be in a group, everybody needs to be together. We lined up in 150 degree weather outside and sweated for 20 minutes and got in eventually, kind of wind your way through the school. Your kid will get up on the stage, they'll be announced, get 20 seconds of that and get back in line. Wind your way through the cafeteria, pick up your diploma, take some photos, and, you know, in a mere 2 hours, you're done. It was definitely a little underwhelming. Poor kid has been deprived of every experience as a high school senior, so she's a little bummed out, but it's done. We had something. It was nice, so I'm happy and grateful for what we could do. My son, we've got him all signed up for virtual school, and so he's already enrolled, and we've already got him banging out some classes, so really it's just a matter of keeping his attention focused on it, which it's going to take a little practice. You know, there's a million distractions and he's almost 16, so focus on schoolwork is not his priority. So really it's just kind of creating some new patterns there, and we don't have any intention of sending him back anytime soon, so we will keep doing virtual until we feel better about it. He's already plugging away, and I think this might be our reality for a little while.
This is Christina. I went to the beach with my mom. We went to Cocoa Beach one time and then New Smyrna another weekend. And beachside, they're open to 100%. All their restaurants are open. Everything is open 100% over there, which is a little alarming. Technically distanced, and a lot of people had masks on, and the beach wasn't that full. But also it's like, man, like you kind of see why the numbers in Florida are rising because of that. The breakup is going good and bad. We've had a lot of bad days, hence I've been going to the beach or hanging out with my mom a lot. So just trying to understand about friendship and still caring and being compassionate while trying to be around each other all the time as well. So we weren't feeling good for a while and we're just really under the weather. And then we were just like, let's just chill out, wait for the test, you know, stay home, try to be diligent and saving our money like we have been doing. And we went and got the test and yeah, just no results yet. Almost 2 weeks. Whatever it was, we feel fine now.
This is Melissa. I feel like I don't hear a lot of people talking about it anymore, really. And I personally am not seeing a lot of the numbers being shared anymore the way that they were. So I feel like people are just trying to go about their lives as much as they can.
I've got a strong group of people that, you know, are very hesitant to accept, you know, that this is a real danger to society in general. I've got plenty of other people that are concerned about it and being as cautious as possible, but everybody is playing along. You know, there's no issue with anybody wearing a mask. Thankfully, I think the narrative's changed a little bit and people are more accepting, and that's just the reality of what we need to do, whether or not it's politicized, whether your personal beliefs are in line with this or not. I mean, people are playing the game, and that's really all that matters.
This is Melissa. I was looking back at my photos, and 1 year ago is when I took that first crack at the Master Sound theory, and I'm like, oh my God, it's been a whole year. It's been really challenging for me over the last 2 weeks. You know, our group had shrunk down to three. I completely took last week off, and it honestly felt really good to take a break. I really needed it, and I'm having a really hard time getting back on the horse this week.
This is Christina. I did start studying again, which has been great. We ended up just kind of reinvigorating the group and getting really interested in just a better form of tutoring. And there's rumors that there may be a test in October. So we're trying to kind of prepare for that date.
I did have a little milestone birthday. So yeah, I just turned 40 the other day, and it's great. It's actually kind of an interesting 12 months or so. I'm 40, my son's gonna be 16 in a few days, and my daughter was 18. So we're all hitting little milestones. It's kind of cool. There's kind of a lead up to turning 40, you know, with our new reality and, you know, my station in life now. I've had a lot of time over the last few months to look inward and focus on what I believe my shortcomings are and to improve my, you know, mental well-being. And I've put a lot of work into it. And, you know, there were some nerves approaching 40. So part of that was to kind of temper that and make sure that I was in a great state of mind when the clock did hit midnight. And, you know, I feel pretty great about it. So despite everything that's going on, I feel like I'm in a really good place right now. It's kind of great. It's a nice way to have this birthday.
This is Melissa. You know, sometimes like you come in here and it's like you feel like you're just running around in circles over and over again, and you don't know like how to escape this circle you're running in. And it can be, you know, mentally challenging from time to time. But we really believe in, you know, our dreams of this wine bar swirlery. And we have to do everything that we can to make sure that it's successful. That means just grinding away at it every single day, rain or shine.
No, we're not in any danger of closing or anything like that, but it's always kind of looming. You never really know what might happen next. And, you know, if we have a couple of bad weeks, that can be trouble. But as far as things go right now, we're in good shape. I just don't want to be on the brink of disaster at any point. This uncertainty has just kind of become another experience that, you know, is part of my day. So it's no longer not jittery. I'm not freaking out every day. You know, still get a little pit in my stomach every time I look at sales or my bank account, but it's okay. We're still doing fine, and I feel pretty good, even if I shouldn't. But it's better this way.
This is Unwinding, Thanks to Rob Chase, Melissa McAvoy, and Christina Peebles for sharing their stories. We'll continue to follow them as the COVID-19 story unfolds. Unwinding is a production of Orlando Wine Blog. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on social media at Orlando Wine Blog. Thanks to Orlando musician Julian Bond for providing original music for Unwinding, Amy Tardiff for editorial guidance, and WMFE for distribution and promotion assistance. I'm Judith Smelser. Cheers, and thanks for listening.